Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season two on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season one and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season two.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We got asked this question on the text line, and I think it is a good question. If the Chiefs weren't planning on playing DJ Humphries, what was the point of going to get him? Well, let's talk about this question a little bit. Number one is depth. An injury can happen. It's football. If there's any fan base that knows that an injury can happen that can wreck your season at the tackle position, it's you guys. I don't want to spend too much time at least explaining that point. I think you guys know. So if something goes wrong, knock on wood, certainly don't want anything to go wrong. But if something goes wrong, a healthy DJ Humphries is willing to come in and help at left tackle. Maybe something happens to Mike Caliendo. Maybe the injury is not to Joe Tooney. Well, if Caliendo gets hurt, well, that changes the plan. Let's go put DJ Humphries in. Let's move Joe Tooney back to his normal position and let's go. What I think that signing DJ Humphries gave you was options. Because the Chiefs, I think, pretty clearly told you Kingsley Suamataia is not an option at this position anymore. He's an option at some other things. He's an option in 2026. He's an option for the future. He is not an option for us now. Wanye Morris, there's no scenario in which they were putting Wanye Morris at left tackle against Houston's pass rush. Nope. So, number one, depth, options, possibilities, combinations, you can go out there. And I also think it's important to note, I don't think that this was the original plan. I don't think this was the plan. I think their plan was pretty obvious. They tried left tackle with Kingsley. It didn't work. They tried left tackle with Wanye Morris. It didn't work. Well, what are our options now? Our options are Joe Tooney. I don't think they wanted to do that originally because they went out and they signed DJ Humphries and they also didn't get him for cheap. They gave him $2 million. DJ Humphries made $2 million to play in one meaningful game for the Kansas City Chiefs. That's a great job. Who's his agent? I want to go figure out a way to make that happen for me. So you went in there, you paid this amount of money. You clearly wanted him to start. He practiced 1 week. You put him out there on a Sunday night football game against a divisional opponent. You wanted DJ Humphries to be your left tackle. An injury happens. You had to adjust. You had to do something at left tackle. And going back to Kingsley Suamataia and going back to Wanye Morris, that was not part of the Chiefs' plan anymore. So they went to their worst-case scenario. Their worst-case scenario was moving Joe Tooney over there and reshuffling the chairs on their offensive line. The Chiefs believe that they have, and I think there's a lot of reasons that the NFL thinks this, that the Chiefs have the best interior offensive line from left guard to right guard combination in the National Football League. I don't think their plan was to break that up and move your left guard, who I think is your best offensive lineman, to move him to the outside and move him at tackle and replace his spot with Mike Caliendo. I don't think that was their plan. But again, an injury happened. You got to adjust. Football is a lot like life. We all have been in this situation. Man, things are going good. Things are going great with your job. Things are going great with your girl. Your kids are doing well. You're having a fantastic job at work. Everything is going well. And then something happens to your car, and now you got to deal with it. Now your kid's sick. You got to deal with it. That's life. That's what happens in football. You are never going to have it, or very rarely are you going to have it where everything is going great. No, somebody's going to be injured. Somebody's going to drop a pass. Somebody's going to miss an assignment. A penalty is going to happen that takes a first down off the board, and now it makes it second and 15, and now you got to try to go get the first down again. The Chiefs are the best team in the National Football League at adjusting. They're the best. You lose your number one wide receiver. All right, we got to figure out another plan. Let's go trade for one. Let's go pick up DeAndre Hopkins. Well, we don't have a left tackle. Well, what can we do? Let's go out. Let's go get DJ Humphreys. Well, we lose our running back. Well, what are we going to do? Let's go see if Kareem Hunt. Let's check the temperature. Let's see how his attitude is. Let's see if he makes a lot of sense. Let's see if he's a good signing. The Chiefs have shown you pretty routinely there is no better team in the NFL at being able to adjust on the fly. It's easy to win when everything is going great. How do you win when an injury happens? How do you win when a penalty, when a drop, when something changes what your plan is? I think the Chiefs had the plan of going with DJ Humphreys and changed along the way because an injury happens. That's life. Let me play this for you guys. This is Matt Verderam. He joined us on the show earlier in the week. He gave a crazy stat about how favorites dominate the divisional rounds.
I'm not overlooking Houston. I'm not. It's a playoff game. Anything can happen. I actually went back and looked it up. Since the divisional round became a thing in 1967, there have been 83 divisional round games where the spread was over 7 points. In those games, favorites are 65-18. They win about 80% of the time. You can lose. You can lose. It happens. But if the Chiefs don't give the game away, they're not losing this game. Even if they're a little rusty, even if they've got to figure some things out, they're better. They're better in all three phases of the game. They have a better coaching staff. And I think the Texans have a good staff, but the Chiefs staff is probably the best in football. Like, they're better. They may not cover. Maybe it's one of those things where they win like 26-20 or something.
If the Texans win Saturday, it will be one of the biggest upsets in the last decade in the National Football League. The Chiefs are at home. They're fully rested. They're battle-tested. You beat this team a month ago. The Texans are walking in a little bit banged up. Joe Mixon didn't practice a little bit this week. Their left tackle and right tackle missed a day of practice. They don't have Stephon Diggs. They don't have Tank Dell. They've had some other injuries along the way. And I looked up this stat. The last 15 years of the AFC and NFC championship game. So 15 years, 60 teams, right? It's a decent number. There have only been 8 teams that have made the AFC Championship game or NFC Championship game that won 10 games or fewer. This is what I mean when I say that there is a difference between a Super Bowl team and a playoff team. All you need to do is win 10 games to make the playoffs. If you get the double digits, you are making the postseason. You are going to be one of the 7 or what used to be one of the 6 best teams in the NFL. And you usually, what happens is, you do what Houston did. You do what the Commanders did. You win your first game that feels like a coin flip, and now you're about to go on the road, and you're about to play arguably the best team in the National Football League. You go on the road and play the Lions that ran through the NFC. You go on the road and you play the Chiefs that have run through the AFC for the last half decade or so. This is usually when your run ends. You had a great run. There's no reason to hang your head. This is like in the NCAA tournament. If you get hot and you're a 7 seed and you make a deep run in the NCAA tournament, but you don't make it to the Final Four because you lose to Connecticut, you lose to Kansas, you lose to Duke, nobody hangs their head. Hey, we had a great run in the tournament. We were a 7 seed. Look, we made a run. Look, we upset this team. We beat this team. We weren't going to the Final Four. That's kind of how I feel about this matchup. That's how I feel about the NFC game between the Lions and the Commanders. The Lions have proven that they are a team that can go win the Super Bowl. The Lions have been, they have looked depleted. They have looked down. They have looked beat up for the last month. Dan Campbell has been running those boys. Well, now you finally get a chance to rest. And if you're a Lions fan, you really got a chance to go to the Super Bowl. So the crowd is energized. And now you that were a 10-11 win team, you got to go on the road and you got to beat that well-rested team. I don't like your chances to do it. If you're the Houston Texans, You got to go on the road after you played last week. You were at home. You had the high emotional win. You now got to go on the road. You got to play Kansas City, a certainly battle-tested playoff team. They're the healthier team. They've got the better coach. They got the better quarterback. They got home field advantage. They're going to have the weather advantage because it's 15 degrees outside. This is a really, really difficult spot. 8 out of the last 60 AFC or NFC championship teams, the final four teams in the league, 8 of the 60 have been a team that have won 10 games or fewer in the regular season. Those teams don't advance to this point in the season. Or it just takes something special. You got to be Tennessee that pulls off the upset. You got to be Brock Purdy that kind of comes out of nowhere. You got to be Joe Burrow in his first playoff run, and now you upset a couple of people. You got to be Mark Sanchez that nobody believes in. You got to be a team that really comes out of nowhere and really surprises people. And maybe that's what Houston is. Maybe that's what the Commanders are. Houston's been a playoff team all year. The Commanders have been one of the bigger surprises. Maybe they go on the road and they knock off one of the big dogs. I'm not super hopeful. You just heard the stat from Matt Verderam. 83 games, 65-13. The favorite wins this game 80% of the time. I don't think that Houston can beat Kansas City. I don't think the Commanders can beat the Lions. I think the Lions can play down to their level. I think Kansas City can play down to their level. Football's simple. Football is usually defined by 5 to 8 plays, and you got to win certain stats. How do you perform on third down? Who wins the turnover margin? Do you protect your quarterback? Kansas City did that the first time in their matchup against Houston. They won the first time in their matchup against Houston, and I think that Kansas City is better equipped today than they were less than a month ago whenever they played the Houston Texans. It is going to take a special, special effort from Houston to go on the road and pull off the upset. They're going to probably need a defensive touchdown. They're probably going to need a big play out of special teams. I also think that they're going to have to force at least 2 turnovers in order to really make this a game where late they got a chance to win it. A fully healthy, well-rested Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs and Andy Reid coming off a bye week with time to prepare and get ready for an opponent that you've already seen once and seen their weakness. I think Houston is walking into a really, really dangerous spot on Saturday in the divisional round. Coming up on the other side, we talked a lot about the one AFC divisional round matchup. Let's talk about the other one, which is going to be the game of the weekend, Buffalo and Baltimore. That's coming up. Keep it right here. So drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison.
This man was a bona fide scrub.
On 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for their members. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Tri-Tip Roast, Untrimmed Twin Pack, just $4.99 per pound. Signature Farms Boneless Skinless Chicken Breasts, Thighs, or Wings. Buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Progresso Soup, 18 to 19 ounce selected varieties. Buy two, get four free when you buy six. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most. Whether it's reactions, matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about. Your football talk, your way. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.
Welcome back into The Drive on 96.5 The Fan. You can also stream the show on Twitch and YouTube. We'll get back to the Chiefs coming up in just a bit, but let's get to the other game in the AFC and the divisional round. I think this has a chance to be one of the better games of the year in the National Football League. You have the Ravens, you have the Bills. Those two teams are set to play on Sunday night. Let's head to the phone lines right now to be joined by Cordell Woodland. He covers the Ravens for 105.7 The Fan in Baltimore. Cordell, man, happy to have you join us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Absolutely, man. Just take us through what the vibe is, what the energy is, what the atmosphere is like after Baltimore goes on the road and dominates a team that has oddly given them a lot of grief over the last few years.
Yeah, I mean, I think right now, you know, it's definitely a business-like attitude, but they're relaxed. They're loose. They've done a really good job. Even last week going into that Pittsburgh game, which I think in some ways was a little more stressful because, you know, that's a team that they're seeing for the third time this year. So it's their division rival. Wacky things happen when those two teams are on the same field together. And if we're being honest, that's a game that they could not lose, you know, because now you're in uncharted territory in terms of some of the narratives and some of the things that'll be said, even in terms of John Harbaugh's job. So I think them winning that game really helped ease their minds a little bit going into this next one. And you know, it'll obviously be a tougher contest against a much better team out in Buffalo. The Ravens aren't putting a lot of stock into that 35-10 win over Buffalo in week four, and rightfully so. Both of these teams are different. I think they're going in there in their minds just ready for a dogfight.
I feel like the Ravens offensively did exactly what they wanted to in the game against Pittsburgh. Lamar threw it 21 times. They ran it 50 times as a team, and they were dominant. Derrick Henry had 186 yards and two scores. Lamar Jackson had 81 yards rushing. I feel like when the Ravens are their best, I feel like their offensive game flow feels a lot like it felt last week.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's exactly what they want to do, is dominate in the trenches, and that's what they did. And that's not an easy thing to do against that Pittsburgh team that lives off of physicality of their own. You know, they've got a guy in Cam Hayward sitting in the middle of that defense. He's not an easy guy to move. So, you know, they take a lot of pride in establishing a run and establishing that physicality level that they feel like teams can meet. But, you know, last year, the big question, especially in that AFC Championship game, was why aren't the Ravens running the ball? Why didn't they stick to the run game? Why didn't they stick to their identity? I really don't think that's going to be the case this year with Derrick Henry back there. They have no choice but to run the ball when you have Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry in that backfield. And they've been so good at doing it, specifically after the bye week. So, yeah, last game went exactly according to plan. And, look, it helps that Pittsburgh's offense is kind of non-exempt these days.
Yeah, I was wondering that. That's one of my big questions, and we'll get to what my other question is. Is Baltimore going to be, are they going to be diligent in running the football? You mentioned the AFC Championship game last year. Lamar had 8 carries. Gus Edwards had 3 carries. Justice Hill had 3 carries. I felt like they tried to out-Chiefs the Chiefs, and they ended up losing that way. This needs to be a team that tries to run the ball 30, 45 times this weekend and tries to keep Lamar's pass attempts below 30. Do you think that Baltimore is prepared to play that kind of postseason game? Because usually that's what's gotten them in trouble in the playoffs, is they get away from their formula.
Yeah, I do. I think that they're, you know, equipped to do that now because you have arguably the best running back in football in Derrick Henry. And I've been saying this a lot, you know, the league wasn't created with the idea that any team would ever have Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry in the same backfield. No, nobody ever thought that that's what they would have to deal with in the postseason. So, you know, they're going to challenge teams to stop the run, and probably more than stop the run. You're going to have to really almost shut the run game down, or at least force them into a lot of passing down situations. The Ravens do kind of help teams out with their penalties. They're the most penalized team in the league, a lot of pre-snap penalties, so that could be a factor. But if they're able to stay on schedule, I just don't really see a scenario where they'll be forced to get out of their game plan. And make no mistake about it, I don't think that they're afraid to throw the ball. Lamar, he led the league in a passer rating this year, so he's as efficient as they come in terms of throwing the ball and running the ball. They feel comfortable winning either way. But make no mistake, it all leans on the run game, and they want to emphasize that for sure.
What do you make of the conversation regarding the weather for this game? I feel like the Ravens have played cold weather games. I don't really know why this is popping up. Like, it's going to bother the Ravens, but it's not going to bother the Bills. It's a silly conversation to me. I imagine you guys have had it in Baltimore. What are people saying?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. And a lot of, you know, the people that I've spoken to are on the same page. Both teams have to play in it. There's nobody out there that loves playing in that weather. It's an adjustment to everybody, whether you're a cold weather team or not. And both of these teams are cold weather teams. Obviously, Buffalo is a little more, you know, on a different level than what we get here in Baltimore. But, you know, it's the same conditions that both teams have to play in. So ball security will be at a premium. And the good thing is both of these teams have done a really good job of taking care of the ball this year. So I really don't think that the weather will be a huge impact. Now, I will say special teams wise, I think it'll affect the kicking. You know, especially if there's wind going on. Justin Tucker hasn't been great this year. They haven't really needed him a lot, especially after the week 14 bye. He's only had 3 field goals since the bye week. So I don't really think, you know, the weather will impact the offenses, the special teams. I could definitely see it impacting them.
Right now, we're talking to Cordell Woodland, who covers the Ravens, for just a little bit. All right, give me your Ravens win-if scenario. Give me your Bills win-if scenario.
Well, the Ravens win if they're going to run the ball the way that they did back in week 4. This has, you know, it's not a great matchup for Buffalo. They're not the biggest team on the defensive side of the ball. They're a team that likes to come out in the nickel. They want to play with speed. They want to, you know, try to force turnovers in the pass game. But they're not necessarily built to stop the run game. And that was evident when Derrick Henry ran for almost 200 yards on them in the first matchup. So I think if the Ravens do that, I don't really see anybody beating them if they're running the ball the way that they have. I think the Bills are able to find a way to win if the penalties – really turn out to be a problem for the Ravens, because, like I mentioned, that has been their Achilles heel all year, the penalties. If we get to the back end of this game and the Ravens have somewhere between 9 to 12 penalties and about close to 100 penalty yards, yeah, I could see that being a huge factor in this game. And if Josh Allen is able to get some of those vintage Josh Allen plays, both of these quarterbacks make their living off extended plays and holding the ball forever and finding somebody wide open down the field. If Josh Allen's going to go out there and be the better quarterback, I think that'll be their best chance to win.
That is Cordell Woodland joining us on the show today. He is with 105.7 The Fan in Baltimore. Cordell, man, always appreciate your time. Thanks for popping on today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. That is Cordell Woodland joining us on the show. That was the road team perspective. Let's get the home team perspective. Jeremy White of WGR in Buffalo joins us on the show today. Jeremy, what is it like to be told basically all week that the Bills have no chance of stopping Derrick Henry? Hey, Jeremy, you there?
Yes, I'm here. Sorry, trying to get you. Good to go.
No problem, man. We're happy right now to be joined by Jeremy White of WGR in Buffalo. No, I was asking you, what is it like to be told for basically all week that you guys have no chance of stopping Derrick Henry?
It's been wild. I don't know. Like, every day that goes by, the offensive line of the Ravens gets 100 pounds heavier at every position, and Henry gets 10 feet taller every single day. And the Ravens are undefeated and have never lost a game, right? I mean, the way people are talking about this Baltimore team that did lose five games is like they are unstoppable. And if they do beat the Bills, I think Kansas City, they might even get the same treatment because Baltimore has a lot of people impressed right now.
Yeah, I'm picking Buffalo to win this game, and a lot of it comes down to I've seen Lamar in playoff games, I've seen Josh Allen in playoff games, and the right side to be on is to usually be on the side of the quarterback you think is going to play the best, and I think that quarterback is going to be Josh Allen. It's weird to say for a team that I think has been one of the three best teams in the NFL this year, Kansas City 1, Detroit 2, and I would say Buffalo 3. It's weird to feel like Buffalo's been kind of disrespected in this matchup.
I think it comes down to star power. Like, people just don't really trust their offense. And I do think that's a little bit justified. I mean, I'm even a little bit nervous. Can they continue to find the perfect formula? Like, they have pretty much since that Ravens game back in September. They lost that game. They lose to Houston the next week. And after that, rattled off a bunch of wins in a row, beat Kansas City, beat Detroit, you know, all the way up to the Rams game that they lost while scoring 42. So the offense had struggles early, and that's just a different team. And each and every week they've had answers. So I think they've got a great chance to win this game. And in terms of, like, the quarterback conversation, I think the two men with the most pressure are Lamar Jackson and Sean McDermott. And it's because they kind of live the same life, which is they're great. And then in the playoffs, they're not as good. And one of those two is going to try to shed that this week, or maybe successfully do so, because Bills fans need a big performance from their defensive head coach, from their defensive coordinator, Bobby Babich, because almost every year in the playoffs, the defense has let them down.
Which of the two rushing options do you think is more important to stop? Do you think it's Derrick Henry or Lamar? Because Lamar maybe won't have the totals that Derrick Henry does, but you know how Lamar is. He'll just beat you on a 3rd and 11. You feel like you got everything covered up, and then Lamar just scrambles out of nowhere, gets 15 yards, and extends the drive.
It's probably Henry. They've done a pretty good job of bottling up Lamar whenever they do play him. It's never been a game where he runs and throws all over them. Henry, on the other hand, is a different story because I saw a stat this week where he gets 5 yards past the line of scrimmage without any contact, and he averages 24 yards on those carries. So the Bills have to make sure they get to him quickly. Don't let him get any sort of momentum, any sort of head of steam. And that's where it'll be different for the Bills, because the game they played in Baltimore in September, they didn't have any of their linebackers, basically, that will play in this game. Matt Milano will play. Terrell Bernard will play. Taron Johnson, the slot corner who plays in their base defense an awful lot, he will play. All three of them missed that game in Baltimore. So the mission to stop Derrick Henry, they'll probably play three linebackers a lot more than they ever do. They have shown they're willing to do that against Baltimore in the past, and I would expect a lot of that again on Sunday.
From an offensive perspective, everybody knows what Josh Allen is capable of. You also would have to expect that James Cook is going to play well in order for them to win. Who else on this team? Are you looking at this being a Dalton Kincaid game? Do you think that Keon Coleman can step up and have a difference? We know about those first two guys in the run game. Who needs to help in the pass game?
Well, if it's a Dalton Kincaid game, it might be the first one ever. I mean, Kincaid's been a fine player, but here's a fun stat for you. The Bills had 9 different players lead them in receiving in a game this year, and Kincaid never did it once. There's not really any breakouts for him. He is a reliable player, but, you know, a 100-yard game for Kincaid, I mean, that's just not anything we ever really see. The guy I'm looking for, I mean, Amari Cooper is a big player here, of course, and Khalil Shakir, but as we've gotten closer and closer to the playoffs and even started into the playoffs, I think Keon Coleman has an important role here. He always gets single coverage. He plays bully ball. He doesn't separate, but he can win on the outside. And in the first matchup, they threw to him a bunch of times. He had a drop. He had a couple of catches. So I end up thinking that Keon Coleman could be a big, big factor in this game for them.
Are you guys happy with the Amari Cooper trade? Just thinking at it from a Kansas City perspective, he was a name that I really wanted. They ended up getting DeAndre Hopkins. Hopkins has been everything that Kansas City wanted him to be, and they got him for a fifth-round pick. In Buffalo, are you guys happy with what you've gotten from Amari Cooper?
Yeah, it's results-based. Since they made the trade, they've lost a game, basically. So things were dire before they got him. And he came in and missed a couple of games, and Keon Coleman missed a couple of games. I don't think it's any sort of perfect relationship where he's an unrestricted free agent at the end of the season, and our conversations about whether or not he comes back are, who knows? I mean, coin toss would have to kind of be cheap. So he's not had huge games. The only game he got a bunch of targets in, which it's usually three targets, two targets, five targets max, except that Ram game, he got 14. So I've been wondering if ever there's a game script where they need to lean into one receiver because they've got one guy that can win, if Cooper would be that. And against Baltimore, I guess that's possible. But it's gone okay. It lines up right with when they actually turned their season around and started playing well offensively. So you kind of just chalk it up to he gives them matchups that they like a little bit better. But he's not been a massive part of production.
Right now, we're talking to Jeremy White of WGR in Buffalo for a couple more minutes here, getting his thoughts on the big matchup this weekend between the Bills and the Ravens. You could feel the tension through the television last year between Kansas City and Buffalo. Taylor Swift is there. Jason Kelce is there. Kansas City finally comes to Buffalo. You could feel that that place was on 11. How would you compare last year's divisional round hype and excitement to this year's divisional round now with the Ravens coming to town?
Well, it's going to be pretty intense. I mean, Bills fans and Ravens fans have gone at it all year about the MVP and Joshua Lamar. It's been nonstop. No one can escape it in the entire country. The MVP conversation this year took a life of its own. So, you know, you get a game for it to decide last man standing and who gets the right to go to the AFC Championship game. So I feel like the intensity will be ramped up. Just driving around town, stopping by businesses, stores are closing for the game. It's like Texas high school football. And if you got a kid that's got practice, like that practice is canceled. The town's going to shut down and all eyes will be on it. So it's also the hurdle the Bills have needed to clear since 13 seconds. They lose in this round every year. It's about to be a fourth in a row. And, you know, it's been a little bit of a surprise season for the Bills being this good in a transition year. But all that good grace might go out the window when they hit their head on the same ceiling, if they ultimately do.
I know that there's some differences in this analogy, but this feels like the year that USC played Texas where Reggie Bush won the Heisman, but Vince Young is kind of sitting there and they're about to match up in the national championship game. And ultimately that is going to determine who should have won the Heisman Trophy. I am with you that whoever wins this game, maybe Lamar wins it, maybe Josh Allen, but whoever wins this, that should be the MVP.
Yeah. Every time we have the conversation, there'd be a lot of, well, when we find out who the MVP is, which is between the championship game and the Super Bowls, hopefully our guy is still playing and we don't care about that. It seems like a consolation prize. It seems a little bit like a Mr. Congeniality prize. I mean, they've both been chasing the Chiefs forever. And because only the Chiefs seem to represent the AFC, it's almost like this has become another way to validate these two quarterbacks. And Lamar already has two and Allen doesn't have any. So Bills fans have this feeling that he's definitely good enough to have warranted something, some sort of acknowledgement, an award, a trip to the Super Bowl, anything. So I know it's not exactly in line with the consolation prize, but I do feel like there's a lot of that to this, that Bills fans want him to have something. They think he is good enough. And, you know, whether it's a Super Bowl appearance or an MVP, they're waiting for something for Allen.
Last thing here, give me your Bills win if scenario. Give me your Ravens win if scenario.
The Bills win if they are able to punch the ball free, jump on a loose ball. They got a fumble from Lamar in the first game. When temperatures get as cold as it's going to be, the ball is loose a little bit more. It's harder to hold on to. And they've made a living this year punching the ball free. They led the league in forced fumbles, and that's kind of how their defense lived, was by the turnover. So if they can do that, I think they'll be okay. They've not been great forcing punts this year and just making stops. I'd love it if they did, but I kind of feel like that might be a big ask. And the Ravens win if they just kind of stay ahead of the sticks and stay on schedule and keep the pressure on this Bills offense to match them step for step. So it's a coin toss, and Bills fans more than anything are waiting to see if their head coach has anything special to cook up in the postseason, because he really hasn't ever, outside of the last time the Ravens were here and they won in the divisional round to go to the AFC Championship. That's 2020.
That is Jeremy White joining us on the show today. He does fantastic work for WGR in Buffalo, getting you ready for the big-time matchup Sunday night, Bills and Ravens. I know this, Jeremy, just as a neutral observer, I'm excited to see one of these teams come to Kansas City next week, and that's how it should be. Kansas City gets to play Houston. You guys have to go up against each other, and you got to go on the road to try to beat Kansas City to see if you can go to the Super Bowl. I'm really excited about the next 2 weeks in the AFC.
Well, I hope to be on your show next week, and you know I'll be giving you a call.
Absolutely. That is our guy Jeremy White joining us on the show today. Appreciate his time getting you ready for the matchup coming up this weekend between the Chiefs and – or not the Chiefs and the Bills, the Bills and the Ravens. Maybe next week we get the Chiefs and the Bills. I do want to give you guys this stat. Rob and I looked this up. Out of the last 20 years in the postseason, there has only been 4 years – in which the AFC 1-2 seed and the NFC 1-2 seed have all advanced to the final four, the last four teams of the playoffs. So only 4 times in the last 20 years do you get the 4 best teams in the league playing in the AFC and NFC championship game. Somebody's losing this weekend. That's what history tells you. The same way that we say before the season that somebody who was in last place is going to win their division, that's what history tells you. History tells you that, hey, all 4 of these home teams are not winning this weekend. I think that Buffalo is winning. I do think that they're going to pull off this upset, so to speak. I think that they're going to win. I think that that team's the Philadelphia Eagles. I think the Rams are going on the road, and I think the Rams are winning that game outright. I think the Rams have the better coach. I think the Rams have the better quarterback. I think the Rams offensively are going to be able to score. And I know the first time that those two teams played each other, Saquon Barkley went crazy in that matchup. I think they match up a little bit better. Their D-line is playing with a lot of confidence after what just happened last week. I think the upset for the weekend is going to be that the Rams are going on the road, and I think they're pulling off the upset. Do you have an upset happening this weekend, Rob? Is there something that you're looking at when we're getting ready for these games?
Man, me and you are looking at the same game. Maybe this is unfair by me. It's a little bit of, you know, talking out both sides of my mouth. If the Ravens were to beat the Bills, which I did earlier in our parlay that I don't believe that's going to happen, I would take the Bills on the money line. I know that's a seeding upset, like the 3 seed beat the 2 seed, but that doesn't feel like an upset to me if Lamar Jackson, who could have won MVP, goes on the road as a 1.5 point favorite and gets a win. Like, I know that Vegas spreads are not the end all be all, but that doesn't feel very upsetty to me
if
it does shake out that way. But I see the same way as you. If I had to pick an upset this weekend, it would be the Rams. I do not buy into this Eagles team. They feel like they have a lot of right under the surface drama that just hasn't exploded onto the surface because winning cures all ills. But AJ Brown was reading a book during the game last week. He had 1 catch for 6 yards on the sideline. He's reading a book. Jalen Hurts and Nick Sirianni, they said preseason they buried the hatchet and they're working together going forward. But it always seems like there's just something amiss there. And I guess it maybe stems from the fact I don't like Sirianni. He's fighting with fans. It feels like the Eagles are 1 bad loss away from an expose on The Athletic about how terrible things were in the culture, and just winning cures all ills because it feels off with the Eagles. So I like the Rams, but the weather has me a little bit shook.
Yeah, I think at least in this matchup, what kind of scares me about the Eagles and what has for the last couple of years is, if we're saying that this is a coach in a quarterback league and you're gonna need your quarterback to make plays, do you trust Jalen Hurts to make a big-time throw in a big-time spot? I think the Eagles have the worst remaining quarterback in the postseason. I think they're dead last. I know you're not sold on C.J. Stroud. I'd rather have C.J. Stroud than have Jalen Hurts. I'd rather have Jaden Daniels than have him. I think he is the worst quarterback remaining. And if you're telling me that it's 3rd and 7 and you need your quarterback to make a big-time play, I don't know if I trust Jalen Hurts to do that right now. And I do trust Matthew Stafford to do that. And ultimately, I think that's going to be the difference. I think the Rams are going on the road, and I think they're pulling off the upset. I think they're knocking off the Philadelphia Eagles. Coming up at the top of the hour, we're going to be joined by Nate Taylor of The Athletic. We'll continue to get you ready for the divisional round matchup. One of the Chiefs player props is actually the most popular player prop of any of them this weekend in the NFL. I'll tell you what it is. Keep it right here. So drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5, The Fan. Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Coming up at the top of the hour, we are going to be joined by Nate Taylor of The Athletic. There's actually a lot of things to get into with the Kansas City Chiefs, both on and off the field. They lose somebody in their front office. They are now the general manager for the Tennessee Titans. We'll get his thoughts on that. Also, getting you ready for the divisional round between the Chiefs and the Texans. So let me tell you that right now, the five most popular NFL player prop bets are Domini Brown, who plays for the Washington Commanders, his over on receiving yards, which is 34.5. Joe Mixon over on rush yards, that is at 54.5. Jahmyr Gibbs, longest rush, over 18.5. Dalton Schultz over on 39.5. And Isaiah Pacheco, he is the most popular player prop right now, over on rush yards on 41.5. Here's what I want to ask you guys, 913-586-7965. I think we know what this move means for the passing game. They played this team a month ago. Patrick only got sacked one time. I think we all know what this means from a pass perspective. There seems to be a lot of fear and worry about what this means for the run game, and I think that that's mostly misplaced. I think you have to use a little bit of context by it. This was late in the season after they ran Kareem Hunt into the ground, and he got a lot of carries at the end of the season. And I also think that I don't know if Isaiah Pacheco has ever really been healthy over the last few weeks or so. We're talking about somebody who broke their leg in week two. He broke his leg and had surgery on a broken leg and then came back in the same season to play football, and now we're like, oh, no, it's going to take a little bit of time. I told you guys, I made my list of the players that I think are going to most benefit by this extra time and this extra rest. I think the answer is Isaiah Pacheco. I like this one too, 41.5. I want to see the old Isaiah Pacheco, and I just don't think we saw a lot of that this year. He hasn't had a lot of big runs, hasn't really made a lot of big plays, hasn't really had that usual style that he plays with. I think this team is going to need some of that toughness. I think they're going to need some of that energy in the run game. I'm not giving up on the run game because they moved Joe Tooney to the outside. I think a lot of it is just circumstances. You had Kareem Hunt at the end of the season after you've given him a bunch of carries, and Isaiah Pacheco hasn't been healthy. I think we see a new, fresh, renewed Chiefs run game on Saturday against the Texans.
Do you think that because of Isaiah Pacheco or because both got the rest?
Both.
Because if you think both, and I had a hunch you thought both, I think a thing that we haven't talked about all this weekend, because I don't think it's like a massive storyline, is how is Andy Reid going to handle running back? Because he's got two. You can split carries. You can go 50-50. You can go 70-30. You can go 80-20, whichever direction you want. He has two capable running backs, both of which are very rested head into this game. But I think there is a difference between Isaiah Pacheco and Kareem Hunt. Kareem Hunt, I think, actually is better for a game that doesn't have Joe Tooney, because he's a bowling ball that turns first and 10 into second and five. Mitch Holtis has told us that basically all season.
I wonder if
that's the play this weekend, is to take the one in the hand and Pacheco, who is very good at breaking off explosive runs. If you're going to be diminished at left guard, do you lean on Hunt over Pacheco?
Yeah, this is where I feel like now we're playing a little bit of revisionist history, and we're forgetting that we used to say all of these same things about Isaiah Pacheco before he got hurt. Like, now we don't trust Isaiah Pacheco in short yardage situations. Now he's not a bowling ball. A year ago, everybody loved Isaiah Pacheco's run style. Now it's, we don't know if he's capable or not. This is where I kind of feel like we have treated Isaiah Pacheco as a little bit disposable. I think a lot of that is where he was drafted. He's a late round pick that you feel like you got everything you were supposed to get out of Isaiah Pacheco, and now you're ready to move on to the next back. Last year in the postseason, help carry this team. 24 carries for 89 yards in the freezing cold and scored a touchdown against the Dolphins. Had 15 carries for 97 yards last year against Buffalo. Against Baltimore, 68 yards and a touchdown in the Super Bowl. Ran for 60 yards. Had 33 yards receiving. I don't know why we're playing this game with Isaiah Pacheco that when he's healthy, he has not been a viable and proven back for the Kansas City Chiefs. Is he the best back in the playoffs? No. But if he's healthy and they show a commitment to getting him the football, I have no reason to think that Isaiah Pacheco won't be a productive player. I know he can handle the workload. I know he can catch the ball out of the backfield. I know he can give you a spark. If he's healthy now and ready to go, which he should be after 3 weeks of rest and resting up, I like that 41.5. I know that's the most popular play, and you should usually fade the public. I think the opportunities are going to be there. I think the carries are going to be there. I think Isaiah Pacheco has a pretty decent day, and I think that at the end of this game, it will be obvious who their number one running back is. I'm not saying that there is not a role for Kareem Hunt. Sure, he should get some targets. He should get some opportunities. He should get some. But if there's 20 carries in this game and Isaiah Pacheco is healthy and ready to go, he should get 14 of those opportunities because I've seen him do it before in this spot.
To your point about Pacheco, and Dusty gave me this stat earlier today on Fesco and Dusty, and this stat blew my mind. Isaiah Pacheco has 7 consecutive games of at least 75-plus scrimmage yards in the playoffs. The only people who have 8 or more of running backs with that stat are Emmitt Smith, Terrell Davis, and Franco Harris. So we talk a lot on this show, and we should, about, oh, there's playoff Travis. Playoff Travis is different. Playoff Travis is a beast, and he is. Man, Isaiah Pacheco has played, what, is his third season with the Chiefs? He's played in 7 postseason games, and you can basically pencil him in. Hey, he's going to get 75 total yards. Check and check. If you're getting that Isaiah Pacheco, which that guy was obviously more healthy than he is this season, but if you can right now put it down in pen, or as Seth Davis says, Sharpie, 75-plus scrimmage yards, then I don't really think there's a conversation about running back 1 or 2. It's Isaiah Pacheco because he is the more dynamic back. Everything you're saying is correct, but the eye test has definitely favored Kareem Hunt this year. It's a problem for the Chiefs, a good problem to have. They don't have a true clear-cut RB1, so to speak.
Yeah, and I'm with you, and I guess maybe my thing is I don't want to diminish what Kareem Hunt has done. I really don't. I feel like when we say this, like, oh, you hating on Kareem, I'm not. Kareem Hunt had 200 carries this year and averaged 3.6 yards per carry. He had 3.6 yards per carry. He was fine for what they needed early in the season, and they got the absolute most out of him. Kareem Hunt hasn't ran for more than 70 yards since November 4th for this team. I think he has a role. He is a 3rd-and-1 short yardage back. He should get some carries. He should get some opportunities. If Isaiah Pacheco is healthy, and he has not been healthy since the second week of the season, remember, coming into the year, excited about Isaiah Pacheco, great postseason run. He broke his leg early in the season and hasn't really had that time. I think he maybe came back a little bit too early, pressed it a little bit, trying to get back on the field. Now you got time to rest up, you got time to relax, and you got a time to ball out. I would give Isaiah Pacheco a good usage, a good amount of run in this game. I'd give him double-digit carries. I'd give him the opportunity to be the number one if he's healthy and ready to do it. Coming up on the other side, let's be joined by our guy Nate Taylor with The Athletic. We'll get his thoughts on this. We'll get his thoughts on the Chiefs losing one of their key members in the front office, taking the Tennessee Titans job, and also get his thoughts on the divisional round in the postseason. Keep it right here. It's The Drive on 96.5 The Fan.